Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points radio show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
We open the whole thing up with History Repeating Parts 1 and Parts 2 by The Megas. How are you doing? How are you doing, people on the radio? How are you doing, person, fellow co-host?
Here, let's be silent while they respond.
That's it. Cricket, cricket.
Great.
Awesome.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad. It's
what?
Like a Dora the Explorer type thing.
Oh, no.
Like, do you?
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Everyone's life could get better.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's what we are going to do during this hour. This is the Experience Points radio show. We drop nerd and geek knowledge on you every Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. But we don't stop doing it then. We are also online. You can go to our website, exppoints.com. Always double tap that P. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music Podcasting Services. I swear I'm working on Spotify as much as they'll let me. That's been like a 3 or 4 week running joke, and it's starting to anger me. But we are doing that. We have our news reviews. Just go online, check us out. We have social media too. Just find it, like, subscribe, follow, do whatever. Let's cut to two songs.
Okay.
And then let's come back and talk at this microphone more.
Okay, let's do that. I'll do that at mine, yeah.
The Will of One by the Protomen, and Follow the First Movement by Incubus off of the Halo 2 soundtrack. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points radio show exclusively on
Southeastern Zone 90.9 KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. Still the Experience Points radio show. I am still MG.
I'm still Dustin.
You just heard Follow the First Movement by Incubus off the Halo 2 soundtrack. And before that, The Will of One by Proto Man. I really hope they do Act 3 very, very soon. I'm not the only one. I know that. I know you don't listen to a lot of the music, but man, I just love something about Megas, Proto Man. I love bands that sing about Mega Man. I know it sounds strange, but like Proto Man, Mega Man's more like, or the Megas are more like a, I guess more straight-laced, like very like we're going to take the sounds of the original Mega Man game soundtracks or whatever. We're going to take sort of like the canon, sing about that. Proto Men are kind of like, we're just going to use that as influence, and we're going to kind of riff on our own, you know, thing, tell our own story. And it's really dark, and I love that. And in case you we're recording this on the 2nd, I think. The 2nd. And it's going to air tomorrow, Wednesday. So today for everyone is the 3rd. But yesterday for everyone, today for us, Mega Man 11 actually released on
tons
of stuff, like pretty much every platform out there. I think it's definitely PS4, Xbox, and Switch. And I want to say it's also for PC via Steam. So I played the demo, and I got to say, I like it. It's hard because the last Mega Man sort of dopamine drip that I got was Mighty No. 9. And that was that was horrible. It was heresy.
It was heretical. Mighty No. 9. That's shoehorned.
And it's unfortunate because Inafune, who pretty much started Mega Man, did that.
Yeah.
Via Kickstarter. I kickstarted it. I was I'm culpable, you know? I feel like I'm an accessory to a murder.
I mean,
that's how I feel.
You know, they told you they were paying for a car, not a car to deliver a dead body.
That's the thing. Like I even did the Indelible Legend or an Edible Legend or whatever.
Indelible.
It's like the same set of characters or the cast of characters for, it looked like a Mega Man Legends.
Yeah.
Spin-off or similar sort of thing. And I really loved the art for that. So I backed that. And they said, oh, no, we got extra funding. Even though it didn't get funded, it's going to get made. And, you know, they stretched themselves over. But that's the last dopamine drip that I got for Mega Man, and it was awful. So it sort of like turned me off. And then we had the X Collection release, which was great, but it's like I already own it on like PS2. So why would I buy it again? It's not like the graphics are going to get any better.
No.
So now we have Mega Man 11, which is the classic Mega Man universe, and it looks really good. It's very shiny, very well polished, I feel.
Right. There was a demo I saw of it.
I played the demo, and it definitely felt, it felt tight. The controls were tight. It's sort of the same thing. You play Mega Man 10 and Mega Man 9, which came out within the last 10 years. And it sort of seems like all they're doing is they're just like refining this really good thing already. Like Mega Man 2, I felt was the height of a lot of Mega Man's staple controls. And then Mega Man 7 sort of did some weird thing where they decided they were going to make it all Super Nintendo-y. And they made it all more, honestly, they made it more like what Mega Man 11 is now.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that too much. It felt like it was like I was playing, like Mega Man was more like a boat all of a sudden. Like it was like steering a boat.
Yeah.
That could be some of my like I played this when I was a child, and I didn't really get it.
Well, it's kind of a simple thing of, if they do it by Super Nintendo, there's also less work for a nostalgia grab.
Yeah, yeah.
This one felt like it looks like there's a lot more work put in.
Yeah, it looks like it's made for a today's audience. And, I mean, Mega Man 7 was made in 1994, 95, 91.
The fact that Mega Man's always bothered me as a series because we're talking about the 11th one. I mean, and that seems like
Final Fantasy.
That's
at least it changes a little bit, though.
That's true. I played Final Fantasy 15, and that was one of the first ones I've ever played, actually. Yep. It just felt so obnoxious to me once you're getting into the sevens and the eights.
It's the Land Before Time syndrome. Like, just kill the meteor. Send the meteor already.
Yeah, it's like they're in late Cretaceous. They're spitting in God's eye here, man.
You're replying to some actual history.
Yeah.
Well, usually this is the segment where we talk what we did the previous week. Dustin, I mean, do you have anything notable you want to talk about?
Land Before Time. I'm just realizing that there are dinosaurs, just like in Jurassic Park, that are in the Jurassic and the Cretaceous period.
And call it Cretaceous Park or Triassic Park. I just kind of lump them all up. This is dinosaur land.
There's Traceosaurus is like where there shouldn't be. And they're hanging out. And like there's gaps between those dinosaurs that are bigger between the gaps between us and dinosaurs.
Dig Michael Crichton up and ask him, what the heck,
Michael Crichton? Michael, hold on. Let me get some electricity. Zap you.
You tell us. And he's like, I'm dead now, but I'm alive. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to stay this way? Tell us why.
This is some Witcher 3 stuff. We only got you here for answer some questions.
That's it. Oh, did you hear the latest thing with Witcher?
Yes, I did. Something I want to talk about as well.
Yeah.
The name of the author of the original
Sapkowski.
Sapkowski.
Andrzej
Sapkowski.
Polish author. Wrote the Witcher series.
That wrote the Witcher series is asking. He's demanding royalties.
Yeah, he's threatening legal action.
Right.
If he doesn't get $16.1 million dollars.
That's about where they're asking. And of course, the people at CD Projekt Red are saying, no. Well, you gave us the rights to the game.
They bought. He demanded. That's the thing. He demanded a lump sum up front.
He was like,
I want a lump sum. They're like, you don't want royalties? Like, we'll pay you a little bit over time. And he's like, no, absolutely not. And then he later said, well, who knew that they would be very successful? I'm like, yeah, it doesn't really work that way.
Yeah.
You can't just say in retrospect, I should have made a better decision and didn't make the better decision or I'm going to sue you. Like,
yeah.
And, I haven't read the Witcher series, but I know that the Witcher series that we know and the video game and the Witcher series as in books are very, very different.
Right.
And I'm okay with never reading them, knowing what the Witcher series in the games are.
Right. And the issue, that's the thing. It's like, you agree to this. I'm some already, dude. I'm like, yeah, this sucks and it's a bummer that you probably should have got royalties. Man, you wouldn't be strapped for cash right now if you had royalties.
Well, I don't know who can burn through. I don't know what they paid originally. Uh-huh. I don't think that was really noted in the article that I read. But it's interesting when you're talking or whenever the lawyers, Sapkowski's lawyers are discussing it. They're saying, well, there's this expectation that there would only be one game or the first game, not a series of games, not DLC or add-ons.
And that's what their lawyers are pushing. There's an expectation of royalties. But that's the thing. It's like, that's if you'd never established the grounds of why you bought this and you took that lump sum.
And I mean, even CD Projekt Red has completely said, you just said it's groundless.
Right.
Like there's nothing you can do. And that must be such a weird thing. Like without you, we wouldn't have this awesome series.
Right.
So we do owe you a lot and we wanted to pay you that. But we're not going to be strong armed into paying 16 plus millions of dollars.
Right.
To you after we wanted to do that. Like, we would be paying you if you had to set that up, but you're not going to strong arm us now in addition to what you've already gotten. Like,
right.
So it's kind of, it's weird.
It's very bizarre, the mentality.
I feel frustrated that someone over at CD Projekt Red has to waste their time with that instead of working on Cyberpunk. Like, just work on Cyberpunk.
And that's the thing, the guy who made Cyberpunk, I mean, whatever the deal is, that's the deal.
That's the deal. I hope he gets royalties because that means we get more, you know, everybody wins in a perfect world. And we sort of, I feel like CD Projekt Red's, you know, mentality towards their games since Witcher, you know, at least Witcher 3, but I think even Witcher 2 and maybe even Witcher 1, they didn't do DRM. They're like, if you want to spread our game around, you know, we hope that you buy it because if you don't, then if everyone did that, then we're never going to be very successful. We're not going to continue to be successful, but we hope that everyone wants to buy our game. And it's worked really, really well for them. So
hindsight sucks.
It does.
Sorry, but yeah, that's, you got to live with the decision you made. Yeah. You don't have a grounds for anything. Your expectation is only if they never agreed to any kind of thing and they never gave anything, but they gave him permission, I could see you could have grounds, but that's not what happened.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's just strange that now this is a thing. Like, Witcher 3 was a super huge, I mean, it's still a super huge game, but it came out like 2015.
He got greedy. He's like, look at all the money it
made. Or maybe these lawyers, you know, sometimes I imagine lawyers show up and they're just like, hey, you know, like an ambulance chaser sort of lawyer.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know, we looked at, if we see your contract, we may be able to get you more money.
Right.
You know, I don't know which way it went. It wasn't really in the article, but.
And that's the thing. I don't think he's got a grounds for it. I think what CD Projekt Red, because they said they want to find an amicable solution. And, you know, I hope it turns out where everybody's happy and they're not hating each other.
Yeah, but even if this guy gets, I'm not even going to say screwed over. Like, saying he's getting screwed over doesn't really mean anything.
He
chose to do that, and you cannot make me believe that these games have hurt him as an author.
No,
like,
I know.
The exact opposite, man. Like, you wrote the series that became the video game series Witcher and Witcher 2 and Witcher 3. I would argue, like, one of the most notable games in the history of video games.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe that's because, you know, we're just like, this much video game history so far.
Right.
Compared to all the other history. But you sold books because that game existed.
And yeah.
You know?
You got money for that, right, and popularity.
Every time somebody dresses up like Geralt or Triss or whatever, you're getting a plug. It's free publicity.
Yeah.
And
why are you at Comic Cons, dude?
Right. That's the thing. You know, you could very easily talk about how the games are different and ideas that you really liked in the games versus in the books. Like, there's so many avenues that you could spin this into a positive.
And that's the thing. Trying to get money from this is just so greedy when there's other things you could be doing.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know. Write another one. Well, yeah. The crazy thing is I would love to see that original contract, because he signed off pretty much the entire series, like, they can use those characters or whatever at whatever their liberty, you know, they want to use them as. So it's sort of, you sold the brand. You still retain rights to write books about it, but I mean, they can make as many games as they want. They're making Gwent, and they did three Witchers.
And they're not about to get rid of it anytime soon.
No. So I hope that they do. I've been seeing a lot of, like, cyberpunk Witcher cross plays.
Yeah,
like cross cosplays.
Cyberpunk Siri and stuff like that.
I love that. I want those to be like characters that they put in the game, you know?
Right.
I want to be able to romance Siri. You know?
I
want to
see Siri show, because she talked about the world of cyberpunk in Witcher 3.
I want that to be like a dimension hop. You know,
it's like the Dark Tower, isn't it? Everything's kind of connected.
Yes. I want a hub world. I don't care if I see the hub world, but I want her to be able to be there. I'd love to see Triss. Mm-hmm. I'd love to be able to romance Triss again. Like, I'm all about that sub part of the game. In Witcher, it seemed like a lot bigger part of the game. Cause I noticed, I remember watching a video whenever Witcher got released, and I'm playing a ton of Witcher. So I'm consuming all things Witcher after I beat the main storyline.
Right.
When some of the things that Witcher did that doesn't make any sense, one of the game mechanics was that you're supposed to find Ciri. The whole game is revolving around you finding Ciri. But every lost kitten quest, like, attracts your attention.
It's so weird when you're a character that's like, you got to go rescue Skyrim from Alduin, the world eater who destroys us all. You're like,
I'm going to be a potato farmer.
I'm like, deer pelts.
right.
It's so bizarre with that.
It's a fun thing that we get to do in games. It kind of, like, you know, sidebar.
I got a personal question for you.
Oh, okay.
Yen or Trish?
Oh, man. Okay.
I know, right?
So not both. I know how that turns out.
Yeah.
I had to reload a save on that one. no, I think probably Triss.
I'm Yen.
I probably Triss, but only because Yen is just a tremendous, like, butthole. Throughout most of the game. Shani is actually up there too.
Yen is very pragmatic.
Am I saying that name right?
Who's that?
Shani. She's the redhead that wears green. She was in Witcher 2 prominently, but then she showed.
Oh, Shea.
Yeah,
the medic.
The woman.
She was really nice. I did like her a lot.
She was very nice.
Yen always struck me as much more, made sense for this kind of world, because she's much more practical.
She is practical and she is rough. She is a rough cut, like, she is chiseled. She is Miranda Lawson from Mass Effect.
Yeah, very
That's
much
how I
so.
Feel. And I kind of, I don't know, I really like Triss Tris in a lot of ways. I definitely didn't care for the witch, the
Kira.
I didn't really
Kira Motz.
Yeah, I didn't really care for her. Mm-hmm. Totally slept with her though.
In the game.
I didn't really care for. Oh man, I'm trying to. I'm really glad they didn't force a Siri romance option in there. That would have been weird.
Yeah, but I know they kept that relationship.
Yeah,
I like
that's
how
good.
They kept
that's
that.
Good. That was really good the way they kept that.
It was much more emotionally
satisfying.
It was
interesting that there were no female witchers. I want to say that there was a plot point that explained that at some
point.
Yeah,
that was from an old. Yes, in the books, they explained that there was an old male tradition of grabbing like the first thing you saw or something like mm-hmm. that. But there wouldn't be any male witchers because of the way the trial of the grasses worked. For something like
female
that.
Female witchers, you mean?
Right.
Okay.
Because it was only for a certain kind of metabolism.
Right? I gotcha.
Even then, it wasn't great. It still had a 1 in 3 success rate.
Yeah, I remember them describing that in Witcher 2, maybe?
Witcher 2 and 3, they described it because you got to get it ready.
Yeah.
In the third one. But Trish, she was very nice. She was very sweet. The thing is, it's like, that's very nice. It's a little bit in fairy tale land. And but here's the thing. I'm going to end up having to murder a whole bunch of dudes in order to get, like, everything I see in the game just spits in the eye of that. It's such a dark world that I just can't get on board with.
So did you play Witcher 2, though?
Yes.
Okay. So in Witcher 2, I feel like...
She was the main romance
because if you weren't paying attention... There's a lot of people, I think, come into Witcher 3. This is turning into a Witcher 3 show real fast.
It is, which is fine.
If people only ever started at Witcher 3, one, you don't understand how much of a cakewalk Witcher 3 is in comparison to Witcher 1 and 2.
I can't believe I beat Witcher 2. I beat them both.
It's a trial. It is a trial by fire, especially the first part. You're trying to like understand how complicated the game is and what it's doing to you. You become very, very... You become really good at that game if you become good at that game. You become a master game player.
You think Witcher 3 requires prep work. You have to have prep work for Witcher 2.
Right. Witcher 3, you could... Well, and that's the thing. Like, the easy mode on Witcher 2 didn't seem all that easy, to be honest.
Good Lord, it didn't. No.
It was like they... And, you know, maybe CD Projekt Red didn't understand how difficulty works. I'm like, it was the labor of love. Like, you have to really love this game to play it because it's really difficult.
It wasn't like an option of using oils or potions or something like that. You had to use oils.
Oh, no. And
potions.
You know, this is one of those things where you would not be I wouldn't bat an eye at someone that's like, I need to go buy a Brady game strategy guide or something.
That's one
you
of
know
those
like
where...
I need to know I need a tips and tricks to kind of figure out how I'm going to do stuff. It was a really solid series of games. It was muddy, it wasn't as polished as Witcher 3, I would say, but it was a game for a different time. I think people coming into Witcher 3, the whole point was that people come into Witcher 3, they don't really... They get that they're going after Yennefer, but they don't get it.
Yeah.
I would even say people, because if people, before Witcher 3 came out, I knew Good Old Games and even Steam, I think, was running some specials on buying Witcher 1 and 2. And if you just started playing Witcher 1 and Witcher 2 and you never finished them, you never got really into them, you would approach, especially at the beginning of Witcher 2, there's a whole sex scene with Triss and everything, like beginning. So, and it's like, hey, boobs, whatever, right. I'm a guy. Again, I'm gender stereotyping everyone that plays these games.
Of course.
But, you know, like, oh, wow, this is what I want, this is what I'm about. And then you start playing Witcher 2 and you're like, oh, this is really hard. And then Witcher 3 eventually comes out and you're like, well, I won't play Witcher 2. I'm sure they'll catch me up in Witcher 3. And then you get caught up, sort of.
A little bit.
You just kind of get like, this is what you're doing
today. The characters know what happened.
Right.
And you don't.
It's hard.
Who's the Scoia'tael kind of thing?
Right. These elf people, these elf terrorists.
who I sided with, to be honest, because... Yep. People suck.
this world, and this universe is terrible.
And Geralt identifies, not to be whatever, whether or not Geralt identifies himself as a human being or not. And I'm like, I totally, when I play him, I'm like, no. I am separate from all of you.
I am different. I may not be better, I may not be worse, but I am certainly different.
I'm certainly better.
Well, than most of the people out there.
Right. I'm certainly better than them. But when I play, I'm like, why the fairy tale of trying to pretend to be something you're not? If they don't want to say you're human, good. They act like garbage to each other.
There's that. So this is where that, choose your own adventure side of things can maybe bite a game in the butt a little bit.
Right.
Because it separates out what I guess, the vision for from CD Projekt Red, like the story that they're trying to tell. And it gives you...
And then me role-playing.
Right. It gives you some amount of agency, but maybe not enough to make these decisions and say, I am human. Now, at the end, again, spoiler alert, if you have not beaten Witcher 3 and you don't want to hear this ending, but, there's an ending with Triss. And you can effectively stop being the cavalier, swashbuckling, not charming necessarily, but not necessarily uncharming, Geralt of Rivia. And you can just kind of settle down with Triss.
Yeah.
And do the whole, not nuclear family, but effectively that thing. You can just be a homemaker, which goes against pretty much everything that witchers are bred to do.
Right.
It you said, spits in the face of that narrative of the story. It does.
A little
that.
Bit. Like, you want your happy ending and your character to be happy, but at a point, the character of Geralt is not somebody who he could do that for a month.
Right.
And then he'd have to get back into
it. Years of training have sort of indoctrinated him to a certain way of being.
Right. You're wired. There's not a whole lot. All the wine and sex in the world can't stop this, But with Geralt and everything, it's the same reason why I hate Superman as a character, and I'm sure some people are freaking out right now. I don't remember. I absolutely hate
right there on your side. I am on your side 100%.
Superman.
It's a flawed character design. It is a flawed character design because of a ton of reasons. Go ahead.
I don't understand because Superman feels the need to play make believe for whatever. This is somebody who's if we could do all this stuff, forget that he could do all this stuff or wherever he's got all the powers. That's fine. My issue with Superman is not that he can do so much stuff. I think that's a bad idea that he can do so much stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of eggs in one basket sort of thing. You're overpowering this one person.
Right. My issue with Superman is that he feels the need to pretend to be a person, which wastes time from him actually saving people.
Right.
He goes to
a job.
But no one's ever able to answer this question.
He pulls a paycheck.
Right. He goes to Metropolis.
Right, the Daily Planet.
He goes to Daily Planet after going to college, presumably. How did he get this job? Irrelevant. He works for the Daily Planet. My question is, why? What is the point of doing any of that?
Yeah.
There's no point.
Does he even need to eat?
That's my question. Is you're Superman. If you work in journalism, you find out about crimes after they happened.
Right.
They report on
incidents.
You need
to be a cop.
You have superhuman hearing.
You're right.
You can hear everything that's going on in the city. You are wasting time. Every minute you're not being Superman, you are wasting time.
Yeah.
So this thing about playing this meek little person and going to the other, no one suspect me. It doesn't matter if they suspect you.
It doesn't matter. Who cares? Who cares? You're Superman. What are they going to do to you?
They can't do anything to you.
I guess greedy people, they'll find some kryptonite and that'll be,
right. One of the most, the thing. One, you have to know his weakness is kryptonite.
Right.
Why would you ever make that assumption? Who would ever fathom to find out?
Well, because it's easy. You get the hots for Lois Lane. You do an interview. You explain that you're from a planet called Krypton. And someone starts Google searching Krypton.
Exactly. If he was never Superman, this wouldn't be an issue.
No.
He has made it his own. He makes his own issues.
Yeah.
No one would go after Lois Lane. None of this.
That's the thing. It's man, I'm really stressed out. All this stuff's happening. I'm like, well, you kind of do a little bit of that to yourself.
You do a lot of it to yourself because they see you hanging out with Lois Lane so much.
Like, people would stop bombing the Daily Planet if they stopped suspecting that you worked there or had some sort of
connection with Lois Lane of
some kind. Right. You can have anyone in the world. Why Lois Lane?
And that's the thing. It's so there's no point in a secret identity because it's not to protect your loved ones. It's solely to make believe.
Yep.
That you're a person and you're not
It's to humanize the character so it'll sell.
Here's the thing about the dangerous thing about Superman. If he has some sort of psychological thing, we must pretend to be human. Mm-hmm. He is going to live much longer, and that will eventually
just
snap
a crazy
and
person.
Break. That is what a crazy person does: is dress around and pretend like somebody they're not for 8 hours a day. That's an insane person's behavior. So he lives in Metropolis. He does all this stuff, and his whole shtick is saving people. Great. Question is. His base, for whatever reason, he thinks he doesn't need one.
No. But he's got crystals.
The Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah, it's the Swarovski mansion thing over here. And
if your objective is to save people, why have you moved your base of operations to the most remote location on the planet that can exist?
So hold on. Counterpoint. He can fly really fast. He can get there very quickly.
That's still time wasting.
It is.
And it's the
if you go by, I think, Superman 2, you could always spin the world in reverse and reverse time.
Yeah, you could go around the planet.
I guess if we're going with that.
Everything
was
about,
that two? I think it was two.
Yeah, this is, I think it was the second one. Everything about Superman drives me nuts. Why the facade? Why any of this? He's simply Superman.
Well, and then there's also like there's the point where he goes into I think this is Justice League where he's just chilling out on a space station most of the time.
Dude, that's the thing. It's like
go there.
If you're at the space station, I could see that being an advantage if you're operating globally.
Well, Superman,
if he can even do that.
The crazy thing is like Superman, is that an American superhero? Is Superman for the world? Is
right.
Superman like...
Are you region locked?
What are you doing? How are we branded? What's your region code?
And not to be whatever, why are you hanging out with the Justice League? That's neat. Y'all can do stuff together.
But you've it seems like everyone is going to be holding you back. Like inevitably, just because
inevitably, they will be like, where's Superman? Let's just call him up. The other issue I have with him is that he's such a stark contrast to how well Batman is as a character. Because everything about a Batman makes sense.
When did Batman versus when did Superman get released? Like,
oh, Superman was
Comics,
definitely first, I
Superman,
think.
Yeah, very, very early. I don't know.
But
yeah.
Batman is somebody who has to go through this facade in order to be Batman.
Right, right. The man needs to pull a paycheck so he can continue to be, you know.
This facade of being Batman has to be catered to. And in comparison, kind of the Marvel version of that character, which I don't think is really the Marvel version of Batman, but
Tony Stark?
No, actually. Moon Knight.
Moon Knight. Wow, that's a...
Yeah, I know. That's
deep,
one of those...
You dug deep inside.
I actually own a bunch of Moon Knight comics, and they're a great read. Because he operates at night and everything like that, but they don't shy away from him, but definitely being mentally ill.
Oh, okay.
He's inhabited by the Egyptian god of whatever, but they're like, no, even the Egyptian god that's in his head is like, no, you're mentally ill. I'm real, but you're still mentally ill. Your brain's being
ripped
apart.
Where do you
here.
Think I'm coming from, guy?
Right. And that's the thing. They fully embrace that and makes the character such a delight to read.
Nice.
But... I mean, I just whinged about superheroes for a second, so let's move on.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, so this turned into the first segment is Witcher. We're gonna cut to two songs, come back, talk about some more stuff.
Right.
Diablo 3 Rap by Dan Bull, Kingdom Hearts by Play a Video Game Symphony. We'll catch you after this break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
You've been listening to the Witcher special a couple years late, I think.
Yeah.
Exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
Deckard Cain, reincarnate. I'm the author of the lore for this dark place. I understand you're a guy on a mission, but if you could just give a minute, stay a while and listen. Hush, because again, the...
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points radio show. I'm still MG.
I'm Dustin.
I just heard Kingdom Hearts play.
Sorry, that was weird.
I'm Dustin. I'm Dustin the Station.
That
was Kingdom Hearts by Play, a Video Game Symphony. Before that, Diablo 3 Rap by Dan Bull. I haven't played Diablo in a long time. I know they had some extra thing that came out.
No, it's coming to the Switch probably, isn't it?
That was it. They were talking about that. I can't get back into it. I really want another StarCraft though.
So it's the merry month of October.
You know what happens in October?
Yep.
A bunch of stuff. I actually have a bunch of games that are releasing or have recently released.
Okay.
And I want to leave the best for last.
Of course. Okay,
so,
let's go.
In a very certain order, today, the 2nd, but yesterday for everybody, mm-hmm. October 2nd, Forza Horizon 4 mm-hmm. released. And it looks great. It looks really good. Like, real nice.
Car games have always been pretty, but I always like crashing cars more than driving.
That's the thing. I don't really ever buy Forza games because they are like simulators. And I don't simulate like
right they're fun for people who drive correctly. I do not.
Right,
sidewalks are just new roads.
We had Mega Man 11 came out October 2nd. Mm-hmm. Moving on, some game that I want to play but I also haven't played the previous entry in the series, so I probably will pick that up first if it goes on discount, Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Okay,
I haven't played Origins at all.
What's the release date on that?
That is the 5th.
The 5th.
Odyssey is the 5th, so 2 days from when this airs.
Yep, on Friday.
It'll be Friday. It's Friday. I want to play it because it looks so good, but I also feel like I should pick up Origins and play Origins because I have heard nothing but amazingly good stories about Origins. So probably will pick that up. Moving on, we have a game that made the list, but only just Bum Simulator. And you don't simulate a butt. You simulate a homeless person.
Wonderful.
Yeah, you simulate a homeless person. And it just seems like Goat Simulator, like this wacky, just weird, niche, like crazy world sort of simulator game. Built in Unity, I'm sure. Unreal or something.
That, Is that offensive?
I feel like it should be, but I mean, what bum is going to play that and go, this isn't how I
right.
It's coming out on the 6th. I imagine it's going to be a very cheap game, and it's not going to have a ton going on.
I don't think I want to play something.
I don't
like
want to play that either, but because the guy's just like,
it feels kind of insensitive, to be honest.
Oh, it totally is. No, it totally is. I don't mistake my tone for how I actually feel about it. No, the guy is like mental illness all over the game. I don't know what studio's putting it out there.
But I guess it's
coming out in the 6th.
Not to be all SJW, but it's like, is that still funny to make fun of people like that?
To make fun of homeless people?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
you can, but you're just. It's just kind of a low class thing to do.
Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
100 with a battle, with a battle royale.
October 12th. That's good. And then we have Starlink October 16th. So Starlink is the one where I think Star Fox on the Switch version is
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You build a ship, and I think you actually like do this weird thing where you build a ship physically, and then it scans it in. And then
the Skylanders in the sky.
Yeah, Skylanders in space.
I can see
it. But
it looks like
No Man's Sky graphics, but it's third person.
We'll see.
It's weird. And then your favorite.
Yeah.
On October 26th, Red Dead Redemption 2.
That's right.
Ready to saddle up and ride there, cowboy.
Just the beginning, the first of this month, yesterday, they released new gameplay trailer for it. They find the second part of the gameplay trailer. Everyone's been asking where it is, and they showed it off. And, of course, it looks amazing.
Fantastic. Dude, the reload animation.
Oh, yeah.
The reloading. I never thought I'd be like, man, I've got to got any more of those reloading animations? No, yeah, they're so good.
Everything is, this game is deep.
It recently was explained that you will need, at least PS4 owners will need 105 gigabytes.
Yep, and Xbox One X owners.
Which is, okay,
Xbox One owners.
I didn't know if it was the same install. That is typically a 500 gig game console. That is a fifth of the console.
If you own the Pro or the Xbox One X, you come with a terabyte, I believe.
It's still a good chunk.
A
tenth of the console. You know, I look at games. I did sort of an inventory of the games that I have. And I mean, I've got like the remake of The Last of Us. And that's pretty hefty. I've got Horizon Zero Dawn. Pretty hefty. You know, I think 30-something gigs maybe, if I remember correctly.
But this is, you know, triple that.
Triple that and then some. And when you look at, it's the biggest game compared to even like Grand Theft Auto, like for PC, like it is bigger than that. And that is a huge game.
And that's just for install.
Yeah, that's not counting like all of the extra patches and updates. And like it is massive.
Spider-Man is 40 gigs on my system.
And you would say that you've got like 20 hours of gameplay out of it at least.
Yeah, I've gotten plenty of hours out of it. A lot more than that.
I look at open world games like, you know, Red Dead and Grand Theft Auto and everything, and I am just constantly being blown away, especially when you know Rockstar, this isn't the first open world game Rockstar's made. You know?
Right.
You just play it back in your mind when, you know, you were playing Grand Theft Auto 3 or Grand Theft Auto San Andreas or Vice City, how many hours, like you started to memorize the streets.
This is going to be, if you haven't checked it out already, go check it out.
Published the map yet?
They've not published the map yet. There was a leaked map a long time ago, but I don't know how relevant that is.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone's going to be like, oh, actually, there's a thing right here.
I am so interested to see, because they usually do this thing where they like superimpose the previous game's map inside of the map and the new one just to show a comparison of size.
I believe it's a lot bigger.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, it's gotta be after 100 gigs. Holy Moses. Yeah.
I wanna talk about one more thing that dropped today on the 2nd from Kotaku. It was a leaked video from a focus group of a game that is apparently an open world Harry Potter game.
What?
Yes.
What did they say?
And it looks really good.
What did the focus group say?
I don't know. That wasn't really the point. The guy that was taking, or the person that was taking the video was in the focus group, and you're not supposed to do that. Like, you're not supposed to take video. So it's like kind of fuzzy and everything, but the game looks really good.
That's insane.
And again, like, it's just.
Is this from Warner Brothers Studios?
I don't know. I have no idea. Man. I don't think no studio has like claimed that they're working on that.
Well, who owns the rights to the Harry Potter films?
It's Warner Brothers Games.
And they have a video game development arm.
Still.
Makes sense.
Still.
Mortal Kombat, I mean, yeah.
Still. But, or they could just let Rocksteady do it.
That's
just
true.
Let Rocksteady do it. We are out of time.
All right, we are bummed.
So we are completely out of time. But we want to leave you with two songs. At least they're going to be two right now. We might have to shave it off in post. Mm-hmm. But thanks for hanging out with us, man. Thanks, yeah. Dustin. Thank you for coming. You know,
I mean,
we're supposed to be here, but thank you for being here. This has been the Experience Points Radio Show. We're here every Wednesday from 9 to 10, unless like sports get in the way, and we're actually getting to the point where sports will probably start getting in the way. So you know, we'll try to in advance say, no, we're not going to have a show, or yeah, we're going to have a show.
Right, we'll let you guys know.
Definitely check us out on social media or online at exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P, because we're going to be putting news up and reviews up, and also all of the audio on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music podcasting services. And also, if we like have to publish some like announcement that says, oh yeah, this is, you know, we're not going to be on tonight, you'll get it, and you won't like wait with bated breath, you know, on the radio waiting for us to show up. So
yeah,
we're going to leave with two songs: Villain Song by Kirby Crackle, and then Rub Some Bacon on It by Rhett and Link. We'll catch you next Wednesday, unless sports. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
And like we said, this is the Experience Points Radio Show, exclusively on Southeastern Zone
90.9 KSLU.
Every time I build a robot, and every time I sink a ship, every time I throw a girl off of a big old...